2018 finals weekend is here and the EPCR European Rugby Show is in Bilbao for the climax of three continental competitions. Today, we concentrate on Friday night's European Rugby Challenge Cup final between Cardiff Blues and Gloucester Rugby. We'll analyse the team news and hear from key figures including Danny Wilson, Ellis Jenkins, Johan Ackerman and Ed Slater, who've all been speaking here today in the Basque Country. Plus, Gloucester's Director of Rugby, David Humphreys, reminisces about winning the European Cup with Ulster, and we'll keep our eye on the 2018 showpiece between Leinster Rugby and Racing 92, with another special podcast previewing that game on its way to you tomorrow. And don't forget to download the EPCR European Rugby Show's main finals weekend preview, which includes interviews with Matt O'Connor, Henry Trinder and Richard Hodges, available now on iTunes and Audioboom. Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Martin Hindley in for James Burridge, and what a scene we have here at San Mamés in Bilbao. The red seats resplendent in the sunshine, a beautiful bowl, and tomorrow we're expecting almost 30,000 fans for the Challenge Cup final between Gloucester Rugby and Cardiff Blues, and a full house for Leinster and Racing in the big showpiece on Saturday night. I'm delighted to be joined here by ChampionsCupRugby.com's Emma Thurston and the former Toulon, Newcastle, Northampton and England player Tom Made. Tom, it's your first experience of the stadium. They're even mowing the lawn for you. It's not bad, is it?
No, it's very kind of them to come out with all their lawnmowers. You know, I think the way the stadium's been dressed, it looks amazing. Clearly it's empty now, but there's a certain buzz about the place. And you know, I've been out in town today, and you compare the architecture in town to that of the bowl itself. It's an amazing place. I can only compare it to the Velodrome when I played against Cardiff a few years ago for Toulon. That was an amazing stadium on a similar scenario. You know, I think it's great to be having this competition this year outside one of the traditional areas in Bilbao. And then there's a great buzz around the town, and there's no doubt those two teams will be buzzing to get out tomorrow night.
Almost 49,000 at that final that you played in back in 2010, the first time a Welsh region had won European silverware back then. Did you feel back then that there was something special, a sense of occasion about playing in a big European final?
Oh, definitely. You know, when you pull up in a bus and just as the lawnmowers start to approach us again, when you pull up in a bus and people start banging on the side of it, you can tell the passion that feel the real, I think, edge about these competitions. And there's no doubt, you know, I think over some of the years before, some of these teams haven't necessarily paid the competition enough respect. There's no doubt this year, this competition, the Challenge Cup, has been outstanding. There's been some amazing performances, not only from these two clubs, but some of the other clubs as well. So, you know, it's going to be a great finale to what has been a brilliant Challenge Cup, you know, and it will mean a lot. It's all about winning trophies.
Emma, you've been here a few times through the year as we've been building up to Bilbao, but now we have the branding in the stadium and we have the teams and we have the media and we have some fans. Feels a little bit different, doesn't it?
It does. It gets better and better, and it makes me want to run out on the pitch and play in the final tomorrow. Not that I'd be any use to either of the teams, but there's as Tom says, there's such a buzz around the whole city, and you can see it in the players' eyes. Every player that's come in today has looked at this and gone, oof. This is going to be a huge occasion, and it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait. I was excited before, and I'm even more excited now. And I know that everybody across social media have been getting in touch with us to say how much they're looking forward to it as well. And if you do want to get in touch with us, then make sure it's at ER Challenge Cup on Twitter and European Rugby Challenge Cup on Facebook. And if you're looking towards Saturday's Champions Cup final, then it's at Champions Cup on Twitter and at European Rugby Champions Cup on Facebook.
Well, there's been plenty of noise on social media, and next on this bonus Challenge Cup final preview, we'll hear about the noise that's been made here at the stadium today in the press conferences. We'll have all the team news from Cardiff Blues and Gloucester Rugby when you'll hear from key figures in both camps.
I'm Peter Romani, and I'll be listening to the EPCR European Rugby Show.
So it's the European Rugby Challenge Cup final, Cardiff Blues against Gloucester Rugby at San Mamés Stadium in Bilbao. Kick-off at 8 o'clock BST, that's 9 o'clock local Central European time. You can watch it on BT Sport 2, on Sky Sports Action and in France, and BN Sport and en France Télévision. And we're delighted to say we're joined by Alistair Eakin, who will be commentating on the Challenge Cup final for BT Sport. Ali, what do you make of it? It's an impressive venue, isn't it?
It's a great venue. I really love it, all except the bit about being stung by a bee a few moments ago.
Tell us more about that.
It's the weirdest thing. I was up by the commentary position just having a little look up there, and I brushed something away from my hair, and then I couldn't see it anywhere. I knew it was an insect of some kind. Next thing I know, I'm yelping like a baby because this bee has disappeared down my shirt. So I've got several bee stings on my back, which I can still feel now. I think I'm going to be all right. I think I'll live. You don't need to call the ambulance just at this moment. Other than that, I love the stadium. It's great. It's fabulous. Well, look, the main thing is, for me, the steep banking. That's what I love, because the fans will feel like they're on top of the pitch. And the stadiums that don't have that, the ones with athletics tracks around the outside, you're just that much further removed. And here, you just know, even though there's not a soul in any one of those seats right now, you know the atmosphere is going to be amazing.
For Cardiff, the man who was the first to lift a trophy in Europe from a Welsh region, Gethin Jenkins, isn't in the 23-man squad. What were the things that you could pick out of the Cardiff Blues lineup when it was announced earlier today?
Well, I think they're pretty settled, by and large. Obviously, Gethin Jenkins is a significant loss, not just on the pitch in terms of what he does at the set piece, particularly in the loose two, but his leadership. I think any team would miss that. I'll never forget Warren Gatland years ago saying that having Gethin Jenkins on the pitch was like effectively having a coach on the pitch. So he will be a big loss, but they've got great leaders. Ellis Jenkins has just been named co-captain of Wales. So, you know, in that regard, I think they're reasonably well covered. Obviously, they'd like to have had Alex Cuthbert fit, and that's disappointing, not just for us watching, but for him personally. Obviously, he'd like to have gone out on a high with a European final, moving to Exeter. I think that's disappointing. But by and large, I like the look of that Cardiff Blues team. They seem to have a really strong camaraderie at the moment. I was listening to the interview you did with the defence coach on your previous podcast, and it does seem to be the case. They're a very tight bunch. We were actually talking on the touchline earlier today about that bond that's so important in the game of rugby, and you've seen it in the Aviva Premiership with Saracens particularly. They mind about their teammates, and if you mind about your teammates, you'll go the extra mile for them when the chips are down and your lungs are burning and you know you've got virtually nothing else left to give. I feel like the Cardiff Blues have that and form coming in. They're playing some good rugby. Their campaign has been very, very tough. They've been extremely good defensively, and Gloucester, as we know, they're loose. They're thrilling, but they're loose, and they haven't been very good recently. But I don't think that's actually necessarily reflective of how they've been across the season. So it's very delicately balanced.
Well, Gethin Jenkins misses out with a calf injury, and that's 10 changes to the starting lineup that they faced the Ospreys in the Pro 14 to conclude the regular season a fortnight ago. Head coach Danny Wilson has recalled the majority of the side that beat Poe in the last four, with Jenkins and Alex Cuthbert replaced by Reece Gill and Blaine Scully, and back in the front row, Tuafatu Felise is preferred at tight head and will make his 255th and final appearance for the region. Tom, from Cardiff Blues' perspective, where do you see their strength? And perhaps a way where Gloucester might have a look at some potential weaknesses as well.
Well, look, I think I back up what Ali said about Jenkins. He'll be a massive loss, but they've got a lot of quality players across that 15, that are starting 15 and certainly on the bench to come on. I like the look of Jared Evans at 10. I saw him in the under-20s a few years back and he looked special then. And I like the way that Anscombe as a fullback. He's clearly a very good 10 as well, but that sort of adaptation that he can bring to that fullback and sort of the reading of the game with a bit more time will give them an added value. I also think in the midfield, Lilo and Hal Hollow are a handful for anyone, certainly for me saying it as well. So, I think the battle there between both those centre pairings will be key. And then, you know, the breakdown's certainly been mentioned. Navidi is quality. And obviously Jenkins and Williams in the back row. That is a big back row that you've got to try and stop. So Gloucester will have their work cut out, but, you know, they'll have some tricks up their sleeve, I'm sure. And you know, I think probably what Ali said there, you would say that Cardiff are in form, but in a stadium like this, on a one-off occasion, I think, you know, form goes out the window, as we've always say. And you know, you basically comes down to who can focus on the game 100%, not get distracted by what's going on all over the town, and you know, I think it's going to be an intriguing battle.
A lot more straightforward in terms of the team news for the Cherry and White. Ed Slater will skip at the side. He leads out a team that is largely similar to the one that took to the field against Bath 2 weeks ago. The amendment to the 15 is Ruan Ackerman starting at number 8 in place of Ben Morgan. Ali, what do you make of Gloucester? You kind of alluded to the fact that they've had a difficult second half of the season, but they have big match experience when it comes to Challenge Cup finals, third in 4 seasons here.
Yep, there's club experience there, and there's individual experience. Of course, a bloke like Ed Slater, who's come from Leicester, has played in a number of different finals, and he was talking at some length in the press conference about that. And clearly that matters, that helps on a day like this will be. I think they will feel they owe themselves and their supporters a performance to finish the season strongly. I really like what Johan Ackerman has done and is doing at Gloucester. You can see what he's trying to achieve. They're imprinting a new style on the club. It's a style that they've all bought into, but it takes a little bit of time to bed in. And they do have to, whether they like it or not, they do have to be a little bit pragmatic at times. They are very apt to throw 30-metre missed passes inside their 22 with 5 minutes to go and the game in the balance. You know, this is thrilling, but slightly alarming. And I think on that basis, we all love to watch them. And they can rip teams apart. They really can. They can score heavily, quickly. But they can also concede heavily and quickly. So are they going to be a little more circumspect? I suspect they might, because of the nature of the occasion and the fact that there's a trophy on the line. I hope not too much, because we obviously want that adventure and that excitement. I just wonder if, you know, in a year or two's time, when the Ackerman imprint is deeply embedded, I think they'll be in a better position. That's not to say they can't win this, of course they can, but I think we'll see a development of that ethos over time. And it conceivably, maybe it's just a little bit too soon, but I'd like to think they've definitely got it in them.
And both clubs in the Champions Cup, of course, from the pool stage next season by virtue of their performances so far this term. Tom, anything surprising you about the Gloucester 15?
Not really. I think you know, they've got some quality players. I think the one guy that probably doesn't get talked about as much as some others is Atkinson in the centre. I think he's a fairly tall, gangly thing, but he can certainly get through the contact area. His offloading game is pretty strong. And I'm interested to see how Poledri goes as well. He's been outstanding in this tournament so far. But I think a bit like, you know, I think it's balance really that Gloucester need to find. And I think it's difficult to try and get that on a one-off occasion just to bring it in for one game if you've been doing something all season. And I think that's probably an evolution that they'll be looking at pre-season and beyond. So I think to try and bring it in is going to be pretty difficult for this one game. So maybe it will be slightly more expansive.
The only thing I would add to that is you mentioned Poledri. And they've picked Ludlow at 7, who perhaps is a bit more of a scavenger than Poledri or indeed Ackerman, and certainly Morgan. And we know that the Cardiff Blues will scavenge for everything, not just their loose trio, that brilliant back row that they have. Pretty much everybody on that team is a jackaler. So the battle of the breakdown, as ever, is going to be critical. And from a Gloucester perspective, they've got to be ultra physical at that point to enable them to play with the speed and the tempo that they want to. And if they can do that, then yeah, anything is possible. And once you've got that midfield axis of Burns and 12 Trees and Trinder coming off his wing and Atkinson, you know, cutting lines and offloading, then they're in the money. But they're going to need to clear off the limpets first, and that's going to take some doing.
Well, and when those limpets go, I think when you've got Jared Evans and Billy Burns both at 10, you've got two guys that will want to run after everything. And certainly that's been said during the week. There's one thing about Jared Evans' game that needs to be improved on. It's probably his game management. And I guess you could say the same of both Burns brothers, that you know, that they probably need to have a bit more balance to their game. So it'd be interesting that the 10 that has, I guess, the best managed game, the best balance to tomorrow night, will certainly be in a strong chance of lifting a trophy.
fascinating battle in prospect. And if you do happen to be wandering around the city of Bilbao on your Friday afternoon tomorrow, as you do, tickets still available for the Challenge Cup final between Cardiff Blues and Gloucester Rugby. Emma, after the teams were announced earlier today, what have people been saying about it on social?
Well, as you'd expect, plenty of excitement. Neil Parker, he says, of Cardiff Blues' side, looks like a team that means business and wishes them the best of luck. And Ian Hunt, who's an avid Blues fan, he said, can you imagine running out for 60, 65 minutes and then seeing Ollie and Nipper walking on the field? And for those that are not familiar, Nipper is Matthew Morgan coming off the bench. And from a cherry and white point of view, Ian Taylor says, much better balance in the back row and loving the forwards' impact from the bench. Feeling very confident. £10 to charity says we win by 10 plus points. And then Toby Hawkins says, that's some team that Ackerman has put out. Come on, Gloss, make us proud. So all a lot of positivity and excitement for what should be a thrilling game.
We'll hear from the Gloucester camp shortly, but first here's what Cardiff Blues had to say here at San Mamés earlier today. At the top table were Gareth Anscombe and Ellis Jenkins, as well as head coach Danny Wilson, who is leaving the club, of course, after this final.
We've become quite a tight group, a group that have worked really hard for each other for the majority of this season to come to a final. To come away with a trophy from that would be absolutely superb for all the efforts of everybody in the group. And, you know, for any attachment to that for me personally is the satisfaction that the group have got what I think they deserve from all the hard work they put in this season.
You've had a little bit more lead time than Gloucester for this one. How would you assess your form going into it, and what will be the particular elements you'll need to nail down to come away with the win?
We had a great run of wins, obviously, that's again been well documented. We qualified for Champions Cup. That was a really important goal for the region and for us, again, as a group, probably the first goal that we set ourselves. So we were confident coming out of those performances in some big games against, you know, the Munsters and Ulsters, and get some big wins at home in the league. And then likewise, obviously, in this competition, we kind of rolled in with some momentum. I think our defensive performances have improved dramatically in this competition and have given us the opportunity to be where we are today. So then going into Gloucester, I think first and foremost, that area needs to be of the standard that it has been recently, because, you know, we're playing against a side that attack from everywhere, a side that certainly have a blueprint on how they want to play the game, and they're well coached, well drilled, and a dangerous style of rugby. So our defensive performance has got to be right on top, and then hopefully we can put our imprint on the game in terms of the way we play and attack. And lots of people have commented over a long period of time now how we score tries and we play a lot of rugby ourselves, and hopefully we can get that on show on Friday night.
Ellis, could I ask you, would you see the battle at the breakdown to be pivotal? In it always is, clearly, but given your ability as a trio over the ball and perhaps Gloucester not being quite such a jackaling team, would you see that as a key area of the game?
I think it's always a key area of our game in terms of how we look to play. Sort of with trying to get turnovers and get our backs running with the ball. But I think there's different areas that Gloucester look to play to their strengths as well. So it's about, like Danny says, about trying to play to our strengths and sort of dictate the game of how we want it to go. And that'll definitely be something we'll be looking to do.
Just one more, Danny, on the game as a whole and the fact that we're in Spain.
It's an unbelievable stadium. It's an unbelievable venue to play a game of this kind of magnitude, and something that we've all been really excited about and looking forward to. And, you know, the fact our backs coach keeps singing we're off to sunny Spain has been a bit of a frustration, to be honest with you. But now we're here and got the opportunity to enjoy a few days in a very different venue, not the same kind of travel that we do week in, week out. I think it's great, and I think it's, you know, we'll look forward to a good occasion.
Gareth, can you just give us a feeling in terms of the squad's excitement for this final right now?
Yeah, I think, like Ellis said, I think, you know, just being here, being in the stadium, you sort of get a sense of it's something a little bit bigger than usual, and, you know, we're a pretty happy camp at the moment. We've had a good run of form of late, and I guess that mixed with the weather, you know, it sort of tends to pick up the moods a bit. So the boys are in a good position right now. We're really excited by the opportunity, and obviously these sort of games don't come around too often, so we've just sort of spoken about making sure we enjoy the moment. You know, you sometimes get to these games and it can overawe you a little bit, so we just want to make sure we enjoy it, make sure we sort of imprint our game and, you know, just give it our best shot. But certainly we're in a pretty positive mood at the moment, and I think everyone's enjoying it, so yeah, we're looking forward to tomorrow night.
Danny, how close was Gethin to being part of the match day squad?
He came down to the wire. You know, we sort of certainly gave him every opportunity, and Gethin being Gethin, gave himself every opportunity. He's a model professional in terms of his prehab, rehab, and so on. So I know he's really disappointed, and you know, it's disappointing that he can't make the fixture. His leadership is outstanding, but you know, the man next to me here, who's just been selected to dual captain Wales, which I think is an unbelievable recognition and achievement. You know, it shows how far he's come as a leader, and more than happy with his captaincy. And the rest of the leaders, you know, again, like Gareth and so on, that we've got in our team. So although it's a blow losing Gethin, it's certainly one that we feel we can deal with. And it's more of a shame, a big shame for him as well, because I know he's done so much work to try and be out there.
Gareth, it's a young halfback partnership that you've got. How much will they be kind of calling upon your experience for the big game tomorrow?
Yeah, it is slightly, but I guess mixed with, like Danny alluded to, there's a bit of leadership around, but obviously I know what it feels like playing at 10, and I know what I like when I'm there. So I guess my role a little bit is to try and take a little bit of pressure off their shoulders and try and talk to them at different parts of the game and try just give them a few different ideas. So look, they've had great seasons, haven't they? So, you know, we're hoping they'll have another big game tomorrow, and I guess myself mixed with a couple of the other leaders will just be making sure, you know, first and foremost we deliver on the field. But I guess at times it's just about making sure we sort of cool them down at times and I guess let them play with a bit of weight off their shoulders, really. If we can do that and let them play you know, instinctively and freely, then I'm sure they'll have a good game. And you know, if they go well, you know, I'm sure we'll go well. So you know, those two are really looking forward to it, like the rest of us. But yeah, like you said, it'll be a good challenge for them, and I'm sure they look forward to that.
So that's what Cardiff Blues had to say today at San Mamés Stadium here in Bilbao. And you heard questions from Ali and Emma there, amongst others. I mean, what feeling did you get from the Cardiff Blues camp, Ali, there in the press conference earlier today?
I was quite struck by their confidence, actually. I think they travel here with a tremendous amount of hope. Back in 2010, they were big underdogs against Toulon, and they just somehow managed to get the job done. Sorry, Tom. It had to be mentioned. But I think here that it's a different dynamic. You know, they really feel like they can get this job done, because they know over the last few weeks they've had that fluency, they've had that form. They've got players in form. They've got players being picked for the Welsh touring squad. You know, they're on the crest of a wave, I think, at the moment. Can Gloucester snuff it out? Well, we'll find out. But I like the way they're talking, because I think they're expecting big things of themselves, which is, in some cases, half the battle.
Certainly not a confidence that we were used to seeing with Cardiff Blues in the first half of the season, if you flip the season on its head. Tom, what do you expect from them, I guess, psychologically, mentally, building into the game?
I think that, you know, they're clearly not using the whole Gethin Jenkins not being involved in the squad as an excuse, and I think that's great. All the guys that are there, they have enough experience between them to stand up and take this game full on. From my experiences playing against Cardiff, you know, if Gloucester do get out to a lead, which we did back in 2010, we got out to a lead which we should have put that game away, and they came back and they beat us. And I think that's something that must be a concern for Gloucester, but also on the flip side of that, that's a great asset for Cardiff to know in the back of their mind, and that they can come back from a position where they really shouldn't have come back in 2010. But, you know, they can come back and they can win a championship. And they've done it before, so why can't they do it again?
We've brought you a long way, Tom, to bring up bad memories. So we promise we hope to bring you some good ones for the next couple of days. Emma, it was mentioned in the press conference there about the feel-good factor with Sporting Cardiff, full stop, being promoted to the Premier League in the soccer, and now the Oval Ball could do them something pretty special as well tomorrow night.
And that will motivate them a lot. They want to do the same thing. And I think, as Tom mentioned, the psychology of this game and the leaders stepping up within the match, because there's always momentum shifts and there's always points where the chips are down, is which one of those sides have the players to take them back, reset, and then gain their momentum again to get it. So if they want to replicate the Cardiff City's fantastic achievement, then it's on them to do it, and they can see how much it means when you come back with smiles on your faces and with a trophy on the plane. So fantastic motivation for them, for sure.
some week for the city of Cardiff, irrespective of the results here, that's for sure. Well, this is the EPCR European Rugby Show with me, Martin Hindley, Tom May, Emma Thurston, and our guest, Alistair Eakin from BT Sport, where you can watch the Challenge Cup final live on Friday night. We've heard from Cardiff Blues ahead of the European Rugby Challenge Cup final, and next we'll concentrate on Gloucester Rugby. Here's a selection from their news conference earlier today with Captain Ed Slater and first head coach Johan Ackerman on some disappointing recent form.
Must be honest, from a coaching point of view and also from a management point of view, we were quite surprised because the players played so well against Newcastle, and then the performance during the week was good. We trained really with good energy, and you know, there was a lot to play for the top six and the playoffs, and we let ourselves down, you know. But saying that, you must look at the season as a whole, and there was a lot of positive signs during the season for me coming in, and you know, for the players for buying into the new philosophy, the new style, and you know, it's a big change, new culture, etc., that we had to change, and even players coming in. So to us as a group, you know, that two games hurt a lot, but it didn't define us. You know, we still believe that there's enough spirit in us and quality in us to put up a performance on the weekend, and to make, you know, give ourselves an account of us and a better performance. So we're positive. We had a good week. And the players know, you know, it's a final. Whatever happened in the past, it means nothing. Even if we've won those games, it would have meant nothing. It's all about the 80 minutes this Friday night.
Ed, is that how you see it as players? The fact that it's a final, there's a trophy on the line, it's entirely separate to pretty much everything else that's happened. It's a one-shot deal.
Not to contradict Johan, but you know, I think personally the players feel disappointed in the performance they put out the last couple of weeks, and certainly feel like we need to take a little bit more responsibility, and we're fortunate that we've got a game tomorrow to kind of make a difference and change that perception, because as Johan said, I don't think it's a fair reflection of the side over the season, but certainly it's not the way you want to end the year either with those two performances. So tomorrow's crucial for us as a group, make sure we can change that perception.
Style-wise, Johan, we know the style, the imprint that you've tried to put on this Gloucester team since you arrived. Will you be staying true to all of those principles tomorrow night against Cardiff? Are you going to keep that tempo high, the offloading game, the impetus moving quickly all the time, or are you going to try and take a more direct route? What's your plan?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, you know, if you've built so long to change certain habits and change a certain style, you know, you can't go back to just for 1 week and change everything back. But I mean, the decision making, there's been a lot of work during the week on that, on, you know, how we can relieve the pressure better, etc. So but the players, you know, I see we're only an average team, so you know, so obviously the players can just go out and enjoy themselves, you know. They know my philosophy is, if the effort is there, if the commitment is there, if the passion is there, I can live with mistakes and I can live with the result. It's only when we walk off the field after 80 minutes and we feel we let ourselves down, we didn't play with that intensity, that commitment, that speed of ball, and we lack that commitment, that I won't be satisfied. So the decision makers got a clear plan, and as long as they believe in that and follow that and play with that heart that we want, I'll be happy.
Yeah, and what would a trophy do for what you're trying to build at the club in terms of growing?
I mean, we're in a process of trying to, you know, be the best we can at the club, and I think that was the ultimate goal when I came over, you know, and I said from the beginning, I'm not sure how long that process is going to be. Ideally, obviously, you want it as quickly as possible, and you know, it looked for most of the season on track, and then we lost, as we spoke, our way a little bit in that latter part of the season. So the trophy will mean a lot. You know, personally, I've been a bit disappointed in finals the last few seasons, so it was quite emotionally a letdown. So hopefully this time, you know, it can be better. But again, you know, there was so a lot of effort in from the club, you know, from the players, from people behind the scene, and it will just lift the spirit again of Gloucester and the community and the supporters. And you know, I think it will be a great send-off for some of the players who've given a lot to the club as well, even if they're not in the 23. So yeah, I think it will be a, you know, although the club has got a good history in the tournament, it's still special to win trophies. Your career goes by quite quickly, and one day you look back and definitely finals, and especially if you win them, it will stand out always. It's a special venue, you know, it's a first for all of us, and I think it can be a great achievement for the club and for each individual involved if we can be on the winning side. But like I said earlier, you know, it's still a privilege to play in a final and in this country and in venue, and then also as long as the players put everything out there, we can live with the result.
And just finally, Ed, from me, on the breakdown front, a lot has been spoken about the loose trio in particular, but the whole side are a scavenging team, aren't they? They love the Jackal. Have you had to make special plans to try and cope with that and negate it in some way?
Well, it's always an area of the game that you talk about, the breakdown, but certainly, you know, you look at Cardiff and the form they're in, and you'd say they're favourites, and looking at their squad, they have got a lot of threats. I know their tour side's been named recently, and a couple of the guys in that back row are going to be travelling with that, and that shows you the quality they have in the side. But yeah, certainly the breakdown for us is an area that we need to make sure we're very physical and aggressive at, because they do go hard at the ball, and obviously with the way we play the game, we want quick ball as often as we can, and I'm sure Cardiff will be trying to negate that.
Ed, it's Gloucester's third final in 4 years, and so there's a lot of big game experience and kind of knowledge about these occasions. How important is that going into this game against a Blues side who have less experience of these occasions?
Yeah, I think final experience is important. I know from my time at Leicester that it took me a couple of goes before I actually won anything, and those kind of two finals I'd lost previously were massive learning curves, not just for me, but for a lot of the players that I was playing alongside. So, yeah, I agree. It's different to your week in, week out rugby in the league. So, yeah, you know, what can I say? It's important. Guys that have played in finals will understand the pressure that's involved and tactically how the game changes a little bit from your day in, day out stuff. My message to the team is that we don't get caught with distractions or looking at how great everything is and we're in the middle of Bilbao. You know, we're here to do a job at the end of the day, and that 8 minutes is the most important thing. But yeah, first impressions, it's a really impressive venue.
Quite a high volume of local media here in Spain for finals weekend 2018, and they were pretty happy, the locals, when Mariano Galarza also spoke in Spanish to them during the press conference earlier on. For Gloucester, a sense that, yes, we've been here before, but they were keen to shift the emphasis of favouritism onto the guys in blue, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, absolutely. Everybody likes to be, I think, prefers to be the underdog, and then the expectation levels are lowered, aren't they? You know, people will read into that what they will. The one thing I really took away from that, well, there are two things really. One was the fact that they really burn with disgruntlement over the last fortnight, because I think despite the fact they've already qualified for next season's Champions Cup, they wanted to finish inside the top six. They finished seventh. You know, bottom line is seventh is a bit ordinary, and as somebody remarked in the week, very average. Well, it is an average position to finish. I think they're better than average. I think they feel they're better than average, and I think they want to go and prove that on Friday night here in Bilbao. The second thing I thought was really interesting was Johan Ackerman talking about decision making, because for all the excitement and the flair and the adventure, and as we've already spoken about, everybody loves that side of their game, they do need to know when to tighten and when not to, when it's on and when it isn't. They just haven't quite nailed that bit down yet. When they do, I think they're going to be very, very dangerous. It's one of the reasons they brought in someone like Ed Slater, who's a practical guy to his core, it seems to me, and somebody brought up in the tough confines of Leicester Tigers. Decision-making is key for them. If they can pin the Cardiff Blues into the right areas of the pitch and then spark their magic, they're in the money. They try and do it from all parts, at all times and in all places, they could get themselves into a lot of trouble, because we've seen them chase games and it will go horribly wrong.
And that's, of course, to an extent what happened in the second half against Stade Francais last year in the final at BT Murrayfield. This is their third final in four seasons in the Challenge Cup. Is that something that you used to do as players, Tom, switch the emphasis of favouritism onto opponents? Is that something that you've regularly done? I mean, how important is the psychology at this stage?
There's a couple of clubs I've played for that we were definitely always the underdogs. So, you know, I think it's definitely something you'll do in a final. You know, you just get all the attention onto someone else, really. I think the two things that stood out for me, Ed Slater talking about distractions, he sounded very focused in what he was saying, determined to come out of here, come out of Bilbao with a trophy. I think determined to return, I guess, a bit of pride into this season that they're not very happy about. I think the other thing that was, I guess, not surprising, but certainly stood out for me from what Ackerman was saying, it's all about effort and commitment, which would suggest that he thinks maybe some of the performances that we've seen from Gloucester this year have lacked that. You know, you can't imagine any side that would come out here in a final would be lacking those. So maybe he's thinking, you know, if those are in place, if the mind are focused, which it clearly seems to be, certainly with Ed Slater, then Gloucester could be in with a good shout. So, you know, I think it's pretty difficult actually to choose between these two because when they're both hot, they can both fly. So, you know, it should be a great game.
Emma, you were in the press conference as well. What sense did you get from the Gloucester setup?
I think it's going to be an interesting one from Gloucester's point of view, because what I got was the fact that Ackerman was saying about the decision making, as Ali mentioned, and you wonder whether this final is when they're going to show that they can do that and what they can really see out a match and not have those periods where they concede points or when they switch off. Or is this final a step too early in the development of them under Ackerman? So for me, that's a really, you know, it's a pertinent question and one which we'll only find out come finals night on Friday.
Ali, can't let you go without a view on the big one, the one to win the Champions Cup final on Saturday night. Leinster Rugby are looking for a clean sweep in the season. They've beaten the European champions, the English champions, the Pro 14 or the Pro 12 champions and the French league leaders for this season. It's not a bad tally, but Racing standing their way on Saturday. What do you make of that?
I can't wait to see it, first and foremost. I think it's going to be thrilling. There are very few holes to pick in the Leinster setup. They are so well organised. They are incredibly clinical inside the opposition 22. They're well coached. They've got a fabulous blend of youth and experience, the Sextons, Nathewas, Fardies of this world, with Levy, Furlong, you know, Lama, you name it, the list just goes on and on. I think they're feeding off the success that they're all enjoying together at the moment. They are the team to beat, quite clearly, because of their form in the Championship thus far. Racing 92, as we saw, inside a 20-minute period, can blow anybody apart. But 20 minutes is not going to cut it against Leinster. That much is blindingly obvious. They have to play the full 80. They're going to need big games from their big players. Vakatawa, Nakarawa, Imhoff, Carter when he appears. You know, all these guys are going to have to come in and play big, particularly in the absence of Machinot, who's been the heartbeat through the course of their campaign and, of course, the vast majority of their points as well. So expecting big things from Ira Barron. I like what I see of him. He's sparky, he's young, he's going to throw everything at it. Has he got the cool to see out a big European final in front of a sellout crowd? It'll be interesting. For my money, it's Leinster's.
And could I ask you to put your finger on the pulse for Cardiff Gloucester? It's a tough one, as you've said.
Yeah, I think we're going to see points. I hope we'll see points. I think it's going to be very high scoring and tight, actually. I think it might finish, you know, 42-35 or something. I'll go with Gloucester.
You can watch it on BT Sport 2 in the United Kingdom and in Ireland, of course, as well on Friday night. It's the European Rugby Challenge Cup final, Cardiff Blues and Gloucester Rugby. Thank you very much for joining us, Ali. And now, before the remainder of the show, we take a trip down memory lane.
You're listening to the EPCR European Rugby Show.
So it's Leinster Rugby against Racing 92 in Saturday's Champions Cup final. And in the build-up to the big match, the EPCR European Rugby Show has been hearing from some of those who've already tasted victory in that very special competition. Today it's the turn of David Humphreys. He's now Gloucester's director of rugby, of course, but here are his memories of captaining Ulster Rugby as they lifted the trophy in 1999 at Lansdowne Road.
Very quickly as a calculation, all but three of us, I think, were from Ulster, had grown up playing club rugby in Ulster, grown up aspiring to play for Ulster. You know, the team was very strongly Ulster, strongly strong identity, huge pride in playing for the province. But you look back now, and when you try and rationalise or assess why we were successful. It was one of those things that just happened. We were lucky. We were by no means close to being one of the best teams in Europe, but we just had a group of players who we got a bit of luck in some of the games early on, particularly against Edinburgh, who when Craig Chalmers had a kick to win the game, which would have knocked us out, he missed the kick. A little bit of luck there. But we had also very few injuries throughout the course of that year. The same team played week in, week out. And that just allowed us to get a bit of continuity. And then getting home draws in the quarter-final, semi-final, and the home final at Lansdowne Road, the public support that came behind us, you know, people often talk about it, but at the start of that season, a couple of years before, you were playing in front of relatively small crowds in Ulster. Just two or three wins, it captured the imagination of the Ulster rugby public. And I just remember the groundswell support that came through that quarter-final, through the semi-final, and obviously the pictures and the memories from Lansdowne Road. Certainly not from the final itself, the game was a pretty awful spectacle. You certainly wouldn't sit down to watch it now, but the memories of that day were very much about the passion of the crowd, about the noise of the crowd, just and the way they responded to the team. And look, on the day, I think we all felt that once we got there and the momentum we had behind us, we just weren't going to lose the game. If you look at Leicester City winning the Premiership, Connacht a couple of years ago in the Pro 12, they did the same, came from nowhere to win. That was Ulster. Sometimes you're fortunate at a stage in your career to land in a team that goes on to achieve something that nobody really believed you could have, but just then momentum gets behind you. As I said, you get a little bit of luck, and then we were just part of a journey that we all look back on and go, well, that was a great few months, and you know, we'll always be very proud to have been part of that. You know, in some ways then it becomes a little bit of a weight for teams that come behind it, because everybody's comparing you to this one team, and the game really has been transformed in the 10 years after that. The game just grew very quickly, and there's no doubt for a few years Ulster got left behind, and it took them some time then to make the next step to get back to competing in the knockout stages of what is a fantastic club competition, and where Ulster always want to be and always aspire to be. So, you know, you ask anybody who's there, whether as a player, member of staff, as a supporter, everybody remembers that day in Lansdowne Road.
Interesting to hear the thoughts of David Humphreys there. You know, he's clearly got a lot of history with this European competition, knows how to win, so he'll be really excited about how to, you know, get his team firing tomorrow night in the Challenge Cup final.
Well, obviously, David lifted the trophy back in 1999 alongside Mark McCall, who was injured and wasn't able to play in that final. So as a result, Leo Cullen or Laurent Travers will be the first to win the trophy as a player and a coach in European Cup history, which is quite a feat. And just to remind you, the European Rugby Champions Cup final is on Saturday night, May the 12th, Leinster Rugby against Racing 92 here at the glorious Sam Mamed Stadium in Bilbao. Kickoff is 4:45 BST, 5:45 local time, and you can watch it on BT Sport 2, Sky Sports Action, BN Sports and FR2.
Available on iTunes and Audio Boom, the main podcast preview for the EPCR European Rugby Show, which looks at all things Bilbao Finals Weekend 2018 and is available free to download for rugby fans across the world. And ahead of the Challenge Cup final, there's interviews with Gloucester rugby back Henry Trinder and Cardiff Blues defence coach Richard Hodges.
And for those of you who are coming to Bilbao this weekend, go to championscuprugby.com for some essential information about the area. Look for the Finals Bilbao 2018 tab at the top of the homepage, and then click on the Basque Country link. You'll find details about how to get to the stadium, how to navigate your way around Bilbao on public transport, and we've even got some suggestions for you on the best restaurants as well as some key places to visit while you're in the region. And speaking of key places, check out the Champions Rugby Village, which is open in El Arenal, just a short walk from the San Mamés Stadium. There's plenty to do, including rugby games, various bands on, a local market, a museum, and of course, a big screen where you can watch all of the action unfold. All of the details for the Champions Rugby Village, presented by Turkish Airlines, can be found on championscuprugby.com.
That's all we've got time for on this EPCR European Rugby Show bonus podcast. Thanks to today. today's guest, Alistair Eakin of BT Sport. Finals weekend here in the Basque Country starts with the European Rugby Challenge Cup final. That's Cardiff Blues against Gloucester Rugby, 8 p.m. BST. That's 9 p.m. local time on Friday, the 11th of May at San Mamés Stadium. And it concludes with Leinster Rugby against Racing 92 in the European Rugby Champions Cup final here at 4:45 British time. That's 5:45 on the continent on Saturday, May the 12th. You can watch the weekend's action via Sky Sports, BT Sport, beIN Sport and France Télé in France. Plus, remember, go to championscuprugby.com for all the stats, facts and behind the scenes on this very special landmark finals weekend. James Burridge will be back in the hot seat with another bonus pod tomorrow. But for now, from Tom May, Emma Thurston and myself, Martin Hindley, it's goodbye.